I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show, episode 207 for Monday, April 8th, 2019. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Boop Show. We are happy to be here. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Hello.
Oh, hi, Scott.
How are you? How was your day?
I'm doing fantastic. My day was full of gaming. Yeah. I wish it was full of work instead, but I did get the game this past week.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I spent, I was sick all week, so I spent some, I spent more time gaming than I thought. In fact, you have a thing here on our list where you're asking for some good iPad games, which we'll get to a little bit later. But I think I may have a couple to recommend because that's kind of where I was at. I was stuck on a couch and bored and trying to get through some kind of cold flu unit. And
did I jinx you? Didn't we talk last week about what we like to do when we're sick and what games we play? Was that last week?
That may have been last week, yeah. Because I had started getting a cough that day. And I thought it was just a cold, like a brief little no big deal. I had no other symptoms. No big deal. Then it got worse and worse and worse and peaked on Saturday with just like felt like death all day. And then as of yesterday, I feel way better. So for whatever that's worth, I'm doing way better than I was.
Way better. I had a little dip myself last week into the pool of I don't feel well. And you know what? So that kind of led where I went with my gaming this week as well.
Well, that's good to know because it sounds like we may have gone down similar paths. Let's start with what I played. Which was, I told people I was going to play Tropico 6, but I didn't.
I told you people I was going to play the Trop. No, you didn't.
I did say that. I told them I would, but I didn't. It's too much of a brain. I had to use too much of my brain, and I didn't feel like it. I wanted to do easier things. So, in between, but I was still playing a bunch of ESO, Elder Scrolls Online. I never saw you get in, by the way. What's your character name? You're supposed to be playing with me. What's going on?
I know. After complaining to you last week about you better be there, I ended up not going and doing it myself. So I apologize for that. We will do better this week. It was my fault this time.
Okay.
My fault.
All right. Well, I'll let you take credit for it then.
Yeah.
Instead, I started playing a delightful little game called Islanders. The Islanders. Isn't that a hockey team? I think it is.
I think you're right. It is definitely a sports team.
Islanders. Where am I thinking of? Islanders. Why is that familiar? Chat room will know this. They'll come back. Anyway.
They'll come back with their sports.
That's right.
Plenty.
Islanders is a small little indie developed three-dimensional game by I don't know who. I'd give them credit if I could think of it.
It's Grizzly Games as the developer. And it's only $5.
Yeah, this is insane how cheap this thing is. So I'd heard about it from somebody else. And they said, oh, you got to try this. It's this combination of like city builder and puzzle game, which I wasn't sure what that meant, but I was into at least trying. And because I like both of the things separately, I like a good puzzle game and I like a good city builder, especially some sort of island-based deal. And that's precisely what this is, although it's a little hard to explain. So you're given an island and on the island, you're given, especially when you first start, you're given a choice of, like, what do you want to start with? You want to start with a woodmill set of buildings, or do you want to start with a city thing or a farming group or something like that? And you choose. And then when you choose, you say, all right, well, the point or the goal of the game is to put out these pieces they give you and accrue as much points as you can by doing so. And you know how many points you're going to get because when you drag your item out, you create like this little bubble of influence on the object. So if it's a field of wheat, it's a very small one. If it's a city center, it's going to have a much larger bubble around it and it has a larger influence. And the more kinds of combinations you can create, smart combinations you can create with these areas of influence, the more points you get for placing these items. So for example, let's say I put down a couple of woodmills, okay, and I put them right next to the little foresty areas. Those are worth whatever points they're worth. But then if I want to maximize that, I can put other buildings or some of my crop stuff or other things around it. And if they happen to catch the wood builders in the area of influence of those placements, the score, potential point score of that placement goes way up. So it's almost like you're playing, it's like slow Tetris mixed with, I don't even know how to explain it.
Slow Tetris.
It's really odd.
I love the idea of slow Tetris.
It's very odd, but zen-like and very chill, and it doesn't tax your brain too much, but it's still a little tricky. You can get really finicky with the placement of your objects and your buildings, and by so you can take it and like just barely rotate them with your mouse wheel to fit just nicely between a couple of stones or something. You can zoom in, you can pan around, you can do all of that. You can rotate your objects, like I mentioned. And the goal is...
Have you ever played Kingdoms and Castles?
Yes, I have that game. And visually, it's similar. It's a very blocky... Not blocky, it's not the right word. It's a minimalist, it's kind of, slow poly kind of thing, right?
Yeah, but a smooth poly. It's like a slow poly, but smooth poly.
Yes, smooth poly. I dated her for a couple years in high school.
She was
so really smooth. But anyway, I did date a girl named Lotion. That's true, by the way. Her parents are hippies.
What? No kidding.
Yeah.
You know how you got here, baby? Lotion. We calling you Lotion.
She wasn't even a nickname. It was like her actual birth name. But anyway.
Right.
So, it is a lot like that, except that one is more focused on the city building side. This is more focused on kind of the puzzle side, because the goal is you get these points, and then when you hit a certain point threshold, you get a new set of buildings to choose from and create some more stuff. But the ultimate goal is over on the right, there's a little icon of another island that's filling up like a glass of water every time you do some good points. And when you're done, you'll fill it up and it'll let you go to a new island now. So the idea is that you've done this island. Okay, cool. Now to the next island. It's a little more challenging or whatever. And it's just this really chill thing. I would have expected a game like this at like 15, 19, something like that.
Right.
This game is only $5 freaking. Excuse me.
Ooh,
I cannot think of any reason why people shouldn't grab it.
They also have another little game, this Grizzly Games people, besides the one we've been talking about, which is Islanders. Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
There can only be one.
Yeah.
There's a game they have called Super Flight, only $2.99. It's got a very similar art style, but it looks like you're flying in one of those chipmunk scroll suits. Let me see. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. The kind of mean, the little glider things. Wingsuit.
Yeah, let me see. Oh, wingsuit. Ooh, looks like it's made out of cardboard. What is that? I love it.
I don't know.
I like these people's style.
How old is that game? Is that an older game?
2017. So,
oh, not that old then.
No,
it's not bad at all.
What is Super Flight? Well, it's fun.
Well, I'm into it. And I'm into this game. I think this is a hell of a value too. I can't believe they're doing it for so cheap. And it's super polished, like really great interface. Runs smooth as butter. It's just a nice, clean, easy to understand, pick up and play kind of thing. And it's, you know, fiddly in a good way, if that's even possible, because I don't usually like a fiddly game. Whatever
right.
even fiddly means.
I hate the fiddly diddly dee. Yeah. It's terrible.
But it's nifty-o. And I would recommend it. And I'll try their other one, too. What'd you call it? Flight? What is it?
Take a flight.
It's called
Superflight. Superflight.
Oh, Superfly. Got it.
Superflight.
Superfly like the cool 70s blaxploitation film. Superfly.
Right.
Got it. Oh,
right.
Superflight.
Superfly
I see.
Snookums.
Ah, okay. I like
Snookum or Snookums.
I like supporting small developers like this, and the fact that it's a freaking it's that cheap is crazy. And if this doesn't end up on mobile, I'll be shocked. It's perfect for mobile, and it's doing really well. It's selling like crazy. Not only, I think, for the price, but it's a surprisingly great game for the price. This would be a perfect tablet or phone game. Perfect. Because it's totally drag and drop interface, which is all you're doing with your mouse and keyboard. Pinch and zoom to rotate would work perfectly. Like, it all translates to touch. Like, this is the kind of game I want on a touchscreen, and if it ever shows up there, I'll probably get it again.
Have to get it again. If not, you'll look shocked.
Yeah, and only, what'd I say, $5. I mean, it's that's
$5. Stupid. Actually, it's on sale for $4.50 right now.
Yeah, I can't even believe it's on sale. What are they doing? Did they think nobody was going to buy it?
Yeah. So I mean, that's like two quarters of the arcade.
Yeah. Nobody.
Yeah.
I wonder if they thought nobody was going to buy this thing, or they just had low expectations or something, because it's a lot better than it probably has any right to be. So anyway, right. The game again is Islanders. It is available on PC and perhaps other platforms coming forward. I don't know. We'll have to see. Brian, tell me about The Witness, which I guess is free right now in the Epic Store.
I can't tell you.
Is it free?
It's The Witness.
Oh, yeah. You have to keep your witness safe and your witnesses.
Right. You got to keep your witness safe. But I don't think that's the kind of witness they have for this. It's free on the Epic Game Store right now. This game came out in 2016. It is a puzzle game that was the follow-up game for Jonathan Blow.
Brave, right? Brave.
Yeah, Brave. That's right. That's right. So he followed that up with this. He was like, you know what? I want something challenging. And boy, did he make something challenging. It is 650 something puzzles, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a first person puzzler, which I was kind of puzzled at first about that. I'm like, how do you have a first person puzzler? So what you do is you walk around and you approach these panels with the puzzles. You interact, you engage. And mm-hmm. when you do, you have like these, like mazes, like to me. Mm-hmm. You start wherever there's a large circle and it flashes at you. And then you go through the maze and you end at a little half circle. And that's pretty much the gist of it, except it gets pretty complicated.
Mm.
When you're playing the little mazes, you have certain tricks you have to do. You have to I don't want to give too much away because some of these puzzles are a lot of fun. Try to figure out on your own. And by the way, there's no hand-holding in The Witness.
Mm.
None. It is all about exploration and figuring it out.
Yeah.
So,
highly regarded, this game. People love The Witness.
Yeah, they love The Witness. I never played it. I had seen it plenty of times, and free was the right price for me.
I was always about to get it. I was always on the edge of clicking buy or add to cart. But
right.
Then I thought, I'll wait till it's on sale, and then I forgot, and they didn't really worry about it. And then suddenly it's free on the Epic Store. So boom, there you go.
Right. And it very much reminded me of like games like Myst, where you just kind of like, you're walking around, you're first person, you're like, what am I doing here? I don't know. And it's like, figure it out, man. Figure it out.
Very Myst-like.
It's very mysterious. Yeah. And I didn't get this like 80 hours worth of gameplay here, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get nowhere near that this past week, but I did play a lot.
Yeah,
I played a lot. I think I only got one of the turrets lit up. So you're supposed to go around and when you solve enough of the puzzles, you light up the mountain, which is where you're trying to get to eventually. And I think I'm supposed to do like 8 or 9 of those before I can enter the mountain. Before I can get into the mountain and steal the Hobbit's gold.
Mm.
Not the Hobbit's gold. They live out on the Shire. No, I'm talking about the other guys.
The dwarves' gold. Yeah, the dwarves.
Those guys. Yeah, those
mm-hmm.
guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're Balrogs.
Those weren't great movies.
Those were not. You mean you didn't like the part where Gandalf did the little surfing down the,
down
the pile of gold?
That wasn't Gandalf. That was Bilbo. But yes,
was it Bilbo?
Yeah.
Somebody surfed down some gold. I was like, what? What am I watching?
Okay, here's my worry. Here's my worry. You need to tell me if I'm wrong about this or not. My impression of The Witness is that those panel puzzles, they yep. look like mazes to me, and I hate mazes. Like on paper, I'm not a fan.
Right.
So right. am I going to hate that?
No, because it's not really mazes as much as you may think. You know, a really complicated maze can drive you crazy, but most of these mazes are fairly simple, but a lot of the mazes have tricks. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a matter of getting from point A to point B. Lots of times it's about getting to point A to point B in a specific way. And what they do is they train you as you go along with simpler puzzles to go certain paths, because you may have to like swipe over your path may have to go over top of like a certain shape. And therefore you have to go over that shape and all the other shapes that match it before you can leave the field. So in that regard, it's not super heavy like mazes. But there is a maze mechanic to it.
Yeah.
And some of the things also are really interesting that you really only do in video games, where you have a symmetrical maze where you have to look at two different sides of the screen because you have two energy bars. And that's basically what you're doing with the mazes. You're powering them, and there's like an energy, and you have to push that energy bar through the maze. So you may get some that are symmetrical where you move on one side and it does the same thing on the other side, and you have to figure out how to get through the maze that way. So I don't think it really drives you crazy as much as you think it may. Mm. The thing is that's really interesting about it is you'll go to an area, like you'll be thinking linear, and you'll go from one spot to the next spot, and you're like, oh, I should be able to solve this next puzzle, and it should be just a little bit harder. And no, it's like impossibly hard. You're like, I don't even know how to do this one. And you have to like pass by it and keep on going and have to come back and backtrack later.
Yeah.
But I've really enjoyed The Witness. The landscape of the game is beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
I love what they did. They got their own game engine for this thing. They wrote this thing from scratch.
Yeah.
From scratch.
When you say Scott, they, was it mostly him, or did he have people working with him, or what was Jonathan Blow doing?
He definitely had people working with him, but he was, you know, this was the idea that he wanted to accomplish in the end. So no, like I think the design aesthetic was handled by other people. I'm not saying he didn't do everything. I haven't talked to the guy, but this is from what I read.
Right.
He kind of managed like from the outside, you know, like the gameplay in that mechanics thing, kind of like a director, I guess you would say, probably. And I'm sure he had his hands in there too. I'm sure he did some programming. I'm sure he did it.
Do you think his real name is Jonathan Blow, or do you think they made that up?
I hope so. Because that's a cool name. Yeah. I'm Jonathan Blow, and I make video games. You may have heard my video games such as Braid and the other game, Witness, which is now free on Epic Game Store.
He should be a cocaine drug lord.
Because that's what he would do. That would be clever.
Yeah,
you know, that would be too on the nose for him.
Yeah.
So as far as the design work goes in this game, a lot of thought went into it. As a matter of fact, he says that some of the puzzles, Jonathan Blow said, that he thought maybe like less than 1% of the people would be able to solve. You do not have to solve all the puzzles to get a satisfactory story ending to this game. By the way, the story is very hands-off as well. You really don't know what's going on. Mm. You're like, I'm a witness. Am I a witness of what?
Yeah.
Am I a witness because I'm going forth and I'm... Or am I witness something, or am I just witness? Oh, I just, you know, I have no control.
Oh, now you're back. You were breaking up like the witness was telling us a hint.
Who it is? It's got me.
You're back now. Oh,
I'm back now.
Yeah, I want to try it. I mean, free, you can't argue with that. This is normally a $39 game everywhere, and has been since its launch. So if you you want to get in there, the price is good if you're on PC, I guess. If you're not on PC, I guess you're screwed.
Yeah, I haven't. Some of the Epic games work on Mac, right? But not this one.
I don't actually. That's no, a really
it says
good question.
For the. It says actually. It says for the iOS.
Oh, yeah, they have it on iOS. That's true.
Yeah,
but they don't have it for free.
PlayStation 4 and Android. Got it on Android.
Yeah, it's an Android. It's a one everywhere kind of game. But they don't have. There's no. What am I trying to say? There's no, this freebie thing is only the Epic Store. That's correct. So if you wanted some other way than that, you're not going to get it.
It's amazing that the game engine that they developed for this was able to be ported so widely, because, you know, you usually don't see that like in a smaller indie type.
Well, I think it's getting easier and easier to do that stuff, but yeah, you're right. I think it's in this case unusual, but there was also, this was a highly anticipated game from Mr. Blow. I wonder if I ever said that to him, he'd say, my father's name is Mr. Blow.
Hey, you know,
the Blow children.
I was playing this game.
Yeah.
This past week.
Yeah.
And you know, I have people in the house who know I play games for the Boop Show, and so I was like, I actually thought my fiance might like seeing this game because she likes to play those, you know, the Sudoku puzzles and all those things, and gets a little books with all the different little puzzles.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, she'll probably like this. I'll show it to her. And I showed it to her, and she just stared at it with just like, what? And then looked at me and then went, what? And then she said, you like that? And I was like, I mean, I suppose. I mean, it's okay. I like it okay. She said, well, usually you like those shoot 'em up games. And I'm like, no, I like other games.
So, wait, does she like this thing or does it look too hard for
her? She didn't say whether she liked it or not after that. She just kind of dropped it. And I was like, wow. Okay. That was a weird interaction, but okay.
Maybe she, that's a good question. Maybe she would prefer the more 2D approach, and you walking around in this world was throwing her. She'd have to play it herself to know, you know?
Maybe. I think that you're right. I think because I was walking around, and I was not explaining it well either. Because I was like, oh, yeah, just go over here, and you do this thing, and you click. You got to go around this. You got to go around the white columns.
Yeah.
And you got to separate those from the black columns. This is a true thing that you have to do. You have to, like, separate the white pieces from the black pieces. I'm like, racist.
Yeah,
and,
very racist. Jeez.
And to get past the thing. But it's a lot of fun because... As long as it keeps you super engaged, this game does, because you have to be very observant, because your environment, as you travel from panel to panel, will give you clues about where more panels are. And also, some of the environment is designed so that as you pass one object, it may line up with another object. Mm. And that'll give you a clue. It's like, oh, I need to go this way.
Oh, right. Because, yeah, I heard of this. Like, if you're in... there's like trees, and the trees are, you know, there's three of them, and they're all pointing this way, but they each have a branch that goes to the left or right. Like, if you look at it in just the right angle, you're like, oh, and then you go back to the grid and you make it like the tree layout.
Yeah. I love that kind of stuff. I really loved it in Rime. We talked about that last year, RIME. Yep. It was on the PlayStation Plus. That was a beautiful game as well. Yeah. I really enjoyed this game so far.
Right.
I don't know if I'll complete 80 hours, but I keep kind of pop back in and kind of keep chipping away at it.
If you're a puzzle fan, sounds like the perfect thing. I am definitely going to. Oh, yeah. I've installed it. I just haven't played it yet, but I've been meaning to since launch day. So now I finally have no excuse. I can give that thing a shot. All right. Let's talk about my next game, which I don't know if I'm sure others have seen this. I've seen a bunch of streamers streaming it, so I know that it's getting some word out there. But Brian, have you heard of a little game called Super Animal Royale?
Oh, my gosh. Anything that ends in Royale cannot be good.
Well, it is actually good.
Okay, good.
Imagine, if you will, I don't know how many actually get out there, if it's 100 or 80 or whatever it is, but imagine a battlefield full of cute, adorable little bears and foxes and lions and tigers and that kind of stuff.
Oh, kind
of little 2D-looking dudes. They drop into this world that's kind of 2D, 3D combo, kind of 2.5D, and then they run around and they find weapons and abandoned homes and armor and augments for their weapons, that sort of thing, and then they run around and try to kill each other until only one's left standing. Well, if that sounds like a game for you, I got good news for you, because... Super Animal Royale is exactly that.
Yeah, 64 player battle arena.
64.
I kind of like this idea of the 2.5.
Yeah, it's cool. It's not the first of its kind. There's a few of these out there, but this one definitely took off pretty quickly on Steam, and I think rightly so. It's very fun and easy to pick up. There are a couple other games kind of like it, the Cyanide and Happiness. One based on the comic is similar, but I think doesn't feel quite as polished as this. And it's just a different way of playing these battle royale games. The video, for some reason, I'm looking at, they're not actually shooting each other, and I don't know why. Maybe they're playing on teams. But the entry to this is a low bar. You don't have to pay a thing. You can just get in and play. It's not free to play ultimately. I mean, it is to a degree, and you can all play the stupid fox, or you can pay up and get the full game. And have all the different modes, have different skins and characters and weapon types and all of that poopy schmoopy in the game. One thing it does feature is, if you can pick one up, it features a big like gerbil rolling ball, like a hamster ball.
Right.
It just acts as a really fun way to add another shield and go really fast. They're super speedy.
Go fast.
They're not, this video's making it seem like they're super common. They're not as common as this video looks, but I ran into those a couple times and that was pretty cool. I'm also I'm fond of the pace. It just feels like it's fast, and you get in, get out, you get another game going. It's not a lot of load screens, not a lot of wait time. You just get in and go. And it's dual stick compatible. So if you're playing with a controller, and you can play with a mouse keyboard if you want, but if you're playing with a controller, 100% works that way. It plays like a dual stick shooter, which I'm a big fan of anyway. And right. It's just kind of mayhem, and I really like it. You should try it.
It looks fun. Yeah. I am going to try this. It's getting some really good positive reviews, except for this one. Somebody played it for 2 hours, and their total review was no.
Why?
Okay. I don't know. That's what I said. I was like, no. Okay, good.
I feel like they shouldn't allow reviews that are single words. Yeah. It's stupid.
Single words.
Yeah.
It's dumb. It is. The Witness, I forgot to mention this, but I started out playing with the keyboard and quickly realized, ooh, that was a mistake, because first-person shooter part works okay, but when you get into the mazes and stuff, it's like trying to navigate one of those things with a keyboard. Mm. No.
Mm.
But this looks really cool. So it's free to get in.
Free to get in.
$13 if you want to.
Yeah, if you want the whole schmear. I assume they're going to have some kind of battle pass type thing. May already have it for all I know, because I've only done the free one, so I haven't actually looked at those other options. But if you want customization, you want skins, you want, you know, all the stuff you expect from your battle royales, you got to do that. But I had a blast in here. I'm probably going to buy the whole thing because it was really fun. It's the same deal. There's a circle closing, and you got to stay within the circle and the timer and the blah, blah, blah.
This is it's by Pixely, and I don't see anything else by these guys except for Pixely.
Yeah.
So cool.
Check it out.
I'm liking the I don't know if you showed this earlier, but I'm really liking the airdrop.
The airdrop's great. It's like an albatross with a thing on its back. Yeah, yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's like pretty good. They're obviously making a lot of nods and references to other battle royale games, like kind of the way these games work, all of the tropes and trappings of these games. Mm-hmm. And it's that's just fun in its own way. Also, you don't feel there's not a lot of time to camp and hide. They start closing that circle quick and you're in. So you keep moving and go. Or forget it. But it's good. I like it a lot. Great way to waste some time if you're into these games. And it'll be immediately familiar to anybody who's been playing the shooter versions of these games.
Yeah.
But just a fun, goofy, weird freaking thing. And it's called Super Animal Royale. Yep. Finally, some cute little animals in our battle royale.
Giant Eagle Landing.
Indeed. Now tell me about is it Cameo or Cameo? I never knew. But it's that old game. No. It's an old game.
Yeah. It is Cameo, spelled with a K. And it's not Word Up Cameo. It's the game, Elements of Power. It was released back on the Xbox 360.
Which launch title, right? Launch title?
Launch title.
Yeah,
launch title. Yeah. And this is currently on the Xbox Live. It's not Xbox Live. It's the good Lord. I play this all the time and
Game
talk
Pass,
about it.
Game Pass.
Yep. Wow. Yep. Anyway, 2005. I couldn't believe it's been 15 years since the launch of the 360, and this showed up on there, and I was like, what? Let me say, I always wanted to play that, even though I hated the cover art, and I really kind of hate the character designs.
Mm.
They're kind of from that time period of, I don't know how to explain it. They look like poo to me.
Yeah.
Their designs were.
I mean, it was first generation 360, first of all, but second of all, this was Rare's first game for the for Microsoft since they bought Rare, and there was a lot of expectation in that regard. And I don't know, in some ways it's really cool looking, in other ways it's kind of garbage looking. I don't know.
Yeah, the gameplay is what really set this apart. The story, hit or miss. So this game, just like the Witness, experienced a really long development time. So Rare had actually started this years earlier, and it actually started out as a different game entirely, and then they ended up with this because of the Xbox 360. Kind of pushed them into this style of art and the style of play they had. So it's an action adventure, and you start out as... it's supposed to be a fairy? Is it supposed to be fairies? I don't know. I thought it was supposed to be fairies, but they say they're elves. But
she's like a fairy. She's got like little wings and everything.
Well, that's what I said. It's supposed to be trolls against elves, but it looks like trolls against fairies. Anyway.
Yeah.
it's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
The cool part about this is your character is trying to save your godlike family by using their elements of power. And the elements of power allow you to be a rolly ball kind of thing, which is really cool. You get to roll around and you get to zip up walls and bounce around and knock people down. That one's a cool one. I like that one. The rolly ball is what I call it. And then there's one that's like a plant. And the plant goes, he can submerge himself into the ground and go over to the bad guy, usually a troll, and pop up and uppercut and do fast jabs. Okay. And then there is a third character, which is one of my favorites. It is like this big Sasquatch kind of thing. And he's like he has pretty good punch, but his big strength is the fact that he can climb on walls.
Okay.
Right. So
Let me ask you this, do you turn into all three of those things at will?
You do in the very beginning. You're given all those powers in the very beginning. There's more than just those when you get further along, but you almost immediately, after you get past the first act, you lose all of those elements of power and you have to go around and collect them and add to your little stash. So you can carry three at any point in time. You can be yourself, which is the fairy, and you got like this flip kick, and then you can be one of the other three elements of power.
Yeah.
I didn't get that far, but I enjoy what I played.
It's these characters are game. They're ugly characters. They're very bad.
Oh, they're so ugly, but hey, you can't judge everything by this. It's not PS1 ugly, right?
No.
So,
it could be a lot worse. You're right about that.
Right. But everything looks very bubbly. I don't know how. You remember when they first started using the modeling, they were just like you would model a character by just like sculpting it with like just balls, just like you'd blow it out.
Totally, yeah, I think that's a very indicative of the late PS2 GameCube era and the early 360 right. PS3 era. That style was still sort of the thing.
Right. Right. So let's see what else about that game. Cameo with a K is on the Xbox Game Pass right now. 2005, so it's a little bit of a throwback. 15 years ago, that's insane.
Isn't that crazy that's how long ago that was?
But you know what? I got more excited about seeing, because this came from Microsoft Studios, I got more excited about seeing that 360 logo pop up and do the little swirl thingy.
Yeah, yeah.
That excites me more than the one they currently have. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's good branding.
Yeah.
Branding.
I miss the 360. I miss that as well. I think the 360 had great branding. Actually, I think 360 had a great run, period. It's just a good time to be a 360 owner, man. Microsoft was the bomb. I'm really hoping they get back to that. You know,
they'll get there.
I think so. I think we're going to... Ooh, there's some nice water effects. Look at that. That's pretty good for...
Yeah, the water effects weren't bad. There's a good color palette.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I can't totally poo-poo the looks. Some of the environments
The environments are all right. This looks okay, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be embarrassed to have this on my TV. It's fine.
No, it's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. Is it all up-resed, like 1080p, blah, 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 all that? I assume it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked good on my TV. Like I said, other than the fact that the character design is really best at this, like once again,
sure.
I'm not blaming the artist. I'm not. It's just the technology at the time. It was the style. You did your thing.
All right, I'm going to answer your question from earlier. You said recommend some good iPad games. All right, I'm
going to do it.
Here you go. Here are my favorite iPad games for iOS, and they go like this: Invisible Ink.
No, that's a good one.
By Clay Software. Amazing version on the iPad. Amazing. Play it all the time still. Still my game of the year for 2015. I had it on PC then. Amazing version on the iPad. If you can stomach it, Darkest Dungeons is amazing on the iPad as well. Again, that's a PC game you can get on the PC, but incredibly well translated to touch and to that format. So I would highly recommend that.
I remember this one. Yeah.
Third, I would recommend another one that you're going to know of because it's on PCs as well. But the version, the iOS iPad version of, and the phone version is good too, but it's a slightly different interface. But the version of Civilization 6 on there is extremely well made. Really, really good. Especially if you're running an iPad Pro, you've got the muscle power to run it at all the max settings and it looks really good.
Muscle power.
Now I'll give you one that is not already somewhere else. Excuse me. Although I think it'd be really good on PC. Did I talk about it last week? Pirates Outlaws. Yes. Did I talk about that? Or Pirates Outlaws?
I don't know if it was last week, but we've talked about it recently.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. It's on my phone as well. Pirates Outlaws. It's a weird name. It's like Carl's Jr. But anyway, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's basically, if you're listening to me and you've played Slay the Spire before, it's Slay the Spire with pirates. Straight up. Like, they got a couple of interesting mechanics, like reload mechanics for guns and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's a kind of randomish roguelike, work your way up a channel until you get to the final boss, beat him, have some permanent stuff to do next time. It is a pay-for game, so you're not going to do a bunch of free-to-play crap or any of that hoo-ha. There's no ads or anything stupid, which is another reason I like it. And it's just a really good one of those. I like it a lot. Little deck builder, rad little game. I think I talked about it on the show, so I feel like I'm repeating myself, but I think it's really neat. So do check that out. You want to play Guess My Game?
I so want to play Guess My Game.
It's a me, Mario.
All right, here it comes. This is where Brian and I guess each other's games. I'll start. This is this is classic audio from a very old game. Let's see if you can figure it out. You ready?
Let's do it.
Here you go.
Classic audio.
Wait.
Oh. Do you know it?
It's a defender?
Eat. Incorrect.
Wait. Centipede?
Eat. Incorrect.
Wait. Is it some kind of peed?
Is it some kind of peed? Yes, it's Millipede is the sequel to Centipede.
Ah, Millipede. That's what I was getting confused. I knew it had to be one of those.
Listen to this ending. I love the death.
Oh, my gosh.
It almost sounds like you're getting called out for a foul in a basketball game or something.
Recognizable. Man, just like hit my ears. It's like, oh, my gosh, I've played this so many times.
Yeah, I played a lot of it as well. Centipede, very old game. A sequel, though, not to a much older game. To a game called Centipede. This is Millipede. I liked Millipede more because it felt more fun to play Millipede than Centipede for me.
Yeah. It was much more challenging. I can't remember exactly what it was, but Centipede was very snake-like. It was just very didn't seem like there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
Millipede.
And it was a good example of like the metric system in video games. They straight up, Centipede, Millipede. I was really hoping they'd do like micropede or nanopede, but there's no such thing, it turns out. So they had to stop at millipede. As far as I know, there might be other insects that have more peds in their name. Multipede. But I put a lot of quarters into millipede machines and had a lot of fun with them and thought it would be a fun one to break out today. Here's Brian's. Let's see if I can figure it out. Here we
Mine's
go.
Mine's a lot more recent.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll help me. Here we go. Very Asian.
Check it out.
Oh.
You recognize that voice?
Yeah, that's John DiMaggio, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
He's the voice of Bender on Futurama. Sake!
Kill it! Sake!
I have no idea.
2009.
No idea.
2009. 10 years ago. It's based on an anime series. Cartoon Network.
I know it. Hold on, don't say it. It's the black kids in the neighborhood thing. Nick loves this show.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't on very long, but it was kind of controversial, and it was based on the comic book. Right. Boondocks, there we go.
Boondocks, that's a good guess, but no, it's Afro Samurai.
Afro Samurai was my other guess.
Afro Samurai.
That wasn't love a Cartoon
this game.
Network.
It felt like it just, I don't know. Cartoon Network just makes the most fun game sometimes. I can't say that it... super deep or anything, but it was just always fun.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't think I played it, but I did love the anime.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big fan.
Yeah.
And didn't the movie version, they had Samuel L. Jackson or something was the main dude.
Yeah, yeah, the TV series. I think it's actually some Samuel L. Jackson in this in the game too, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, maybe. Correctly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought it was a really cool idea. A lot of anime friends of mine, people who are pure anime purists or whatever, do not like it. They think it was not a like it was a pandering westernized thing.
Oh, absolutely. That, yeah. Please pander to me, please, because that's what I wanted. I just wanted a fun game.
Yeah.
Pander all you want.
That sounded, when you said Cartoon Network, see, that's where, I never saw it on Cartoon Network. I didn't even know that was a thing. But that's why I thought Boondocks, because that was on there for a while. That was on, wasn't it Cartoon Network? Where was it at? Adult Swim?
Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it originally on USA or something?
I don't remember, dude. I just remember it getting canceled kind of unceremoniously, and it was kind of a bummer, because it was pretty funny stuff. But yeah, and Lon in the chat says, anime fans got snobby. I'm stunned.
Oh, what?
Yeah, they can get a little up there. I mean, like anybody who's super into their fandom, they, you know, they take it seriously. And if somebody gets a tiny detail wrong, they like to hop all over it.
Speaking of getting it wrong, did I get it wrong that it was Cartoon Network? I mean, I
don't know. You said that's what made me think of Boondocks, but I don't know.
I could have swore.
I thought it was just a movie. I didn't even know it was a series. Afro Samurai. I thought it was just a single one-off anime film or something.
No, I thought it was a series.
Afro Samurai.
The manga and then the series.
Afro Samurai is available on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, Crunchyroll is my favorite.
Here we go. You're right. It was a mini series.
Ah, that's where I got it.
Samuel L. Jackson, Phil Lamar.
Oh, Phil Lamar.
He's great. He's great. Also on Futurama, he plays Hermes. Mm-hmm. Yuri, whoever that is, Greg Eagles, John DiMaggio plays Brother 2, which was probably what we were hearing there.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, the uncut version, I guess, is super more violent than the TV one. The one I saw, I swear what I saw was the most bloody, gory thing I ever saw, but I don't remember where I saw it.
But that's what it's supposed to be, right? That's the nod that it's giving to the genre, right?
Do you say manga? Or manga?
I flip-flop because I never know. But I usually, if I'm among friends, I will gladly blurt out manga.
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 Now, if I'm in mixed company of people of different, you know, ability to appreciate all the different art forms, I might go manga. Yeah. Yes, yes. I love me some manga.
You don't want to get beat up?
No.
I get it.
Got to get it right.
Well done. That was awesome. And we've guessed each other's games, which is really important. So now, it's time for this. Let's do some emails. I got two emails and two voicemails today.
Ooh.
Alan Stucker wrote in.
Hello, Alan.
Let's call him Stucks.
Stucker.
For some reason, next to this email, it says, "Look at my butthole. It's huge." Did you write that? You must have written that.
No. Why would I write something like that in notes? I never do that.
No, it's not like Brian to ever do that in notes, ever. He never does it. Alan Stucker wrote and says, "Scott and Brian, I'm really enjoying playing Wing Commander and Mech Warrior in the day. I even bought Warcraft 3 and 4 on good old games." Wait, how can that be right? Warcraft 3. Oh, it means Wing Commander 3 or 4. Sorry.
Yeah.
I see WC, and that's all I can think
of. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Anyway, Wing Commander 3 and 4 on good old games. Any suggestions for current games that have that same feel as those games? They really give me, they really gave me the feel of driving a machine. Alan, from the cornfields of southern Illinois. Well, here is what I would say. Your modern era Wing Commander, being made by the person who made Wing Commander, is underway still and still in beta alpha form, and it's called, I forgot the name, hold on, Star Citizen. There you go.
Star Citizen, that's right.
Star Citizen is, by all accounts, the...
Hasn't that failed yet?
No. I mean, it's just hasn't come out yet. Like, it's a frustrating property because those who've really invested in it, and there's some people who have spent thousands of dollars to be early ship getters and stuff like that, swear by it and love it and whatever, but man, they're taking a long time. But if
playable female characters finally come to Star Citizen only 11 days ago by the Eurogamer.
Yeah. I would prefer the headline, Star Citizen finally comes to a place you can just straight up pay some money and buy it. That'd be nice.
They're saying that the campaign should get a 2020 release for the Squadron 42.
I don't want stars. I just want the game. What is your game? And then let me see if I want to pay for it. That's what I want.
Right. The game is, yeah. Let's see how long these fools will wait.
Yes. Elite Dangerous, another good example of you having to manage your ship and do all your stuff. These are all kind of, not sequels, but these are all spiritual nods to the Wing Commander series. The one I'm most looking forward to, by far and away this year, is... my brain just went dead on the name. Oh my gosh, I love the first one. What's wrong with me? It's an Epic exclusive. They signed a deal with Epic to get it on there first. It'll end up on consoles as well. I can't think of the name of the stupid game.
Keep talking.
Hold
Epic
on.
Epic Games.
Hold on. I can't think of it. Rebel Galaxy Outlaw.
Rebel Galaxy Outlaw. Okay. Yeah. I got
Rebel
you.
Galaxy Outlaw is going to be that. I could have gotten there. That's going to be the game. So if I was to tell this listener what to watch out for this year, that's the one. Everything else feels like that's vaporware. That game's going to be great. First game was amazing. This game looks like it takes all the right stuff and moves it to the next level. It's going to be badass. Scott and Brian says, Sarah, on the last show, Scott mentioned he hates using discs and is saving money by not using them, like, you know, DVDs, Blu-rays, that sort of stuff.
Right.
That got me thinking about my DVD video disc usage, and I realized that I get most of my games and DVDs from my local library. The more you know. Let's see. I can usually get the games out for about a month, which usually is plenty of time to knock out a single-player storyline or decide if I want
to
buy something.
Will you bring back my game already? It's been a month.
It's free rental, basically. Since the library is prepaid anyway, no opt-out. It means, essentially, I don't pay anything unless I really like a game. I was wondering if you were what your thoughts were on checking out games and DVDs from the library versus buying them. One of the more one more important note is that even if the library currently doesn't have the game, there's still ways to get it through a library, such as an ILL or purchase request. Sarah. All right, so I've never really gone in there to see if they had like a late breaking, like, here, give me Red Dead Redemption 2. You know, I've never done that. Maybe I should, but I always worry it's going to be covered in boogers and scratches.
Boogers and scratches. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Because have you ever gotten...
are some diamond hard boogers.
If you've gotten... Listen, that's the problem. If you want to go get like a DVD or something at a library, and I've done that, that's how they always came to me. I'd open them up and it'd be like, oh my gosh, freaking who wiped their ass with this freaking disc? I have to clean it real good, make sure it's not going to jack up the player. Sometimes it still skips and sucks. Like, there's no guarantees of quality. That's what I would worry about. So my follow-up to her would be, do you run into that a lot? And if you don't, that's awesome. But that has not been my experience.
I have experience. My experience is that my local library, no one knows about these things. So no one touches them. No. So I'm free reigning. I work right next to the library. So I will occasionally drop in there. Now, the selection's not huge, and I always feel super guilty for going, hey, I'd like to put in a request for this. What I usually end up requesting, though, are graphic novels.
Oh,
I
yeah.
love the graphic novels, and I do not mind supporting those people through the venue. It just seems like a natural marriage. But yes, I have never had any problems with my DVDs or anything that I've gotten from my local library. No boogers or nothing.
Yeah, you're lucky then. I get them when I rented, when Blockbuster was still a thing and, you know, all that. And I get PlayStation 1 and 2 discs. They were a booger. Right. They were always boogery to hell and scratched up and everything. I hated it.
Right.
I do not miss
luck.
That
Even our Redbox feels like, I'm like, am I the only person renting these things? Because either that or we have people who revere these things very, very much because it's always in perfect condition.
Well, Steam is like renting for me sometimes because if I don't like it, I can get a refund. I kind of like that.
But I agree with Sarah here. Sarah, thank you for that. If you weren't, you know, if you didn't know that, definitely check out your local library and recommend purchase requests, because if you don't, somebody else will request something stupid. So you might as well go over there and request something cool.
Yeah, may as well. So here's this now. There you go. Learned something about our local library. Well done, everybody. Quick, a couple of phone calls. These come to us at 801-471-0462. That's the voicemail line. 801-471-0462. And we got one here about shooters. They're kind of calling us out a little bit, Brian. So here it is. Check it out. Where is it? Here it is.
This is Thomas. I think you two gentlemen need to play more shooters. You guys don't talk about Battlefield or anything good like that. I mean, like Apex and all those PUBG style games, they're all garbaggio, man. You need to play some Battlefield and
so basically Battlefield.
Shoot some mofos. Have a fantastic day.
Yeah, it sounds like the worst commercial for Battlefield I've ever heard.
Love it though. He's not wrong, but
is he not though? I mean, there's nothing wrong with Apex. I mean, I know there are a lot of purist shooter people out there that just are mad at battle royales for taking the spotlight. But whatever, they're still shooters.
Hey, PUBG's a pretty serious shooter. That's that takes a lot of skill.
Oh, they all do. All of them do. Yeah. There's no lack of skill in any of these games. The best players are winning and that sort of thing, and that's true of all of them. But if he's saying. Because I could say to him, you don't even know. Let's go back to the old Quake and Unreal days. Those were the day. Like,
okay.
It's just shooters. Shooters are shooters. Everyone's got a different kind. It's like.
Yeah. And the truth is for me right now, I am just really digging all the indie games. And a lot of them are very artsy and puzzle based and story based. And there's not a lot of running and shooting in those games. But I do occasionally like, you know. To fire up a shooter. I just don't know how interesting it is to talk about
it's
shooters.
Not. That's why Brian Unless and I, listen, you know what we talk about here? Islanders, Super Animal Royale, The Witness, Cameo from 2005. Like, Boop is specifically aimed not at that direction, because that direction is mainstream and boring. I want to talk about weird and small and odd and funky and memorable. Like, that's where we're focused. So, nothing wrong with Battlefield. Those are great games.
I love first-person shooters, but every time I play them, I'm always like, well, unless I get really deep into this game, I mean, like hundreds of hours, there's really nothing new that I really can bring usually.
Are you
like
saying...
Apex was kind of fun. Apex was fun because it was kind of, you know, it was a little bit of a look at where things were and, you know, where it come from the franchise. Now it's kind of interesting, but
Are you saying you're the first person to defend first-person shooters? Is that what
you're saying? I would be the first person to defend.
Fantastic. Defenders. So play Defenders, what we're saying. Here's one more email or voicemail. This is about something called Dicey Dungeons, and he has my interest. Here you go.
Just heard you talking about deck builders. I'm curious if you've checked out Dicey Dungeons yet. It's a twist on the new deck building genre, and it adds dice to the mix. So just curious. Thanks.
All right. Dicey Dungeons isn't... Says here it is a upcoming deck building RPG by Terry Cavanaugh, Chip Zell, and Marlo Dobby. Play as one of six cursed heroes and work together to take down the goddess of fortune, Lady Luck herself. It's coming to Steam. You can wish list it over there. Let's see.
And you can purchase, this is the demo, but you can grab this on itch.io. You can grab it on Terry Cavanaugh's itch.io, Dicey Dungeons. And what is it like? Looks like it's going to be about purchase $7.50 in order to download this game. Must purchase minimum blah 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 blah. You will get some stuff, so you can go ahead and get it now if you want to.
I mean, this is absolutely a game I would play. The problem is, it says release date early 2019. We're getting past the point where you can say we're in early 2019. So either this thing needs to get the hell out or whatever.
I mean, I think you're going to make an adjustment to that because if you buy this, you get immediate access to alpha versions 0.16 and alpha level version 1. So, I mean, I think they're probably going to have to shoot a little later. It's interesting, though.
Probably. I'm into it. I'm into it. If you're going to...
Hey, they got a demo.
You can go get the alpha demo thing right from their site, diceydungeonsgame.com, I think. Hold on. I can tell you exactly. Just Dicey Dungeons, D-I-C-E-Y, dungeons.com, and you can download they call it the alpha version 0.16, so I don't know how into it that game is.
But good find. This looks interesting.
I would totally play. This is all up my alley. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just needs to be out, and then I will play it. Okay, that's it. Hey, if you're sticking around, guys, and you should be sticking around, we're going to give away some games today. So
you should be sticking around like a booger on a library DVD.
Damn straight. Boogers and crayons, something out of your diaper. That's what I always thought those discs were covered in. It's really gross. In the meantime, you can be a bigger part of the show by heading on over to frogpants.com/BOOP. That's frogpants.com/boop. And check it out. You can subscribe to the podcast. Check out the old videos. We do the show on video and live, so a lot of the games we're talking about, we show video from as we go, so you guys can get a better visual idea of what we're talking about. If you have your own thoughts and feelings on any of that, you can send us emails, boopshow@gmail.com. You can call us, 801-471-0462. And on Twitter, find us at Boop Show. The Reddit we use is boopshow.reddit.com as well. So stick around. We're going to give away some games to those in the chat room, to everybody else. Have a fantastic week. We'll be back next week with more. Brian Dunaway, any final words before we go?
Oh, man, I got some games to play now. I got me some Pirates Outlaws for the iPad.
Oh, that game's really good. You got to play right. I want to play that game right now. It's that good. Right now. Play right now.
We're going to give away codes. Bye.
All right. Yeah, we have none. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.